Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing, we can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, broken, live or die. So speak life. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. You say, raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. So speak life.
Yeah, it was Speak Life by Toby Mac. You're listening to Marie on Faith Matters. Welcome to my show. Yeah, I'm looking forward today. We've got a couple of guests on. We've got Denise coming on soon, and then we've got Cheryl. It's Mother's Day this Sunday, so we're going to talk about mothers, being a mum and family. But first we've got Denise, and we're going to talk about her blog on Facebook, on which is her blog's called Becoming Unoffendable. And she has lots of different points on there that she talks about. So we're going to look at one today, so I'm looking forward to that. But let's just get into some good sounds for now.
River can be found, and like the rain, I have been carried here to where the river flows. Yeah. My heart is racing, and my knees are weak as I walk to the edge. I know there is no turning back once my feet have left the ledge. And in the rush, I hear a voice that's telling me it's time to take the leap of faith. So here I go. I'm going deep in over my head. I wanna be caught in the rust, lost in the flow.
fill an empty soul and give our heart the only thing worth living and worth dying for. Yeah. But we will never know the awesome power of the grace of God until we let ourselves get swept away into this holy flood. So if you'll take my hand, we'll close our eyes and count to three.
Looking for a reason to find my place in this world. need your light to help me find my place in this world, my place in this world.
Your days roll by. I know it sounds impossible, but we're living in a miracle, yeah. The more you look, the more you know that we are not alone. When you see love, the morn, healing broken hearts, you see chains fall apart, you see hope rise from the dark. It's so much more than ordinary, it's nothing less than Prince of God. It's written in the way the stars break up the night, the proof, the clarity that opens up our eyes. It's all around and inside of you and I know it sounds impossible, but it's actually a miracle. When you see love leave the morn, healing broken hearts, you see chains fall. You see hope rise from the dark. It's so much more than ordinary.
garlic. Open your eyes to the signs all around you. Hope is alive and it's living inside you. All creation testifies that the more you seek, the more you find that love, love, healing broken hearts. You see chains fall apart, you see hope rise from the dark. It's so much more than ordinary, it's nothing less than extraordinary. No, no, it's the fingerprints of God. We're nothing less than extraordinary, no. And it's who we are, the fingerprints of God.
Standing in the rain again, you might as well be dancing. Why? 'Cause the rain. Don't let me find you. Why? 'Cause you have every reason just to sing. So the back row is you glide. 'Cause walking just won't do dance. You don't have to know how to. Ever since grace got you left. So your whole side's hurt and smile. Like you just got away with something. Why? 'Cause you just got away with something.
Something bubbling inside of you, spilling over 'cause your life is full. How incredible, undeniable, monumental like the Eiffel. Uncontrollable, let the joy flow through. Ha ha. Giddy over pity, pretty please. Let me see your hands in the air with you at your seats. Warm it up, let go, shout it out. Celebrate when you can't articulate. Just say amazing grace.
The second you realize what you have inside, it's only just a matter of.
Oh heart, believe, let faith rise. rise up in me. And let faith rise up, oh heart, believe. Let faith rise up in me.
That was Peace Be Still, and I've got Denise in the studio with me. Welcome. I'll just put the mic up there. Yeah. Welcome, Denise. Good to have you back with us. Yeah, I've had Denise on here before talking about her Facebook blog, and yeah, she's. You can find her on her page is Denise J. Gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R. And she has a blog called Becoming Unoffendable. I really like the title of that because becoming is something we're working towards. It's not something that we are right now. So it means something we can work on. So I really like the title. And the last blog you did was titled How Are You Today? And then it was in quotation marks, busy. Yeah. So we're gonna talk on this a little bit. In the blog, there's a passage in there that says, in a world that emphasises stress and being busy, how do we live in peace? Which was a song that I just played was all about peace, and we might move into that kind of a piece in our last point of this chat, Denise. But where I kind of wanted to start was in the first part of your blog where you were looking at unrest and practicing change. And so this is all about finding peace in a world that feels quite chaotic, or even our situations feel quite chaotic. So kind of that's what we're going to unpack today, finding peace in chaos and the different ways that we can find peace in chaos. So we're going to start with practicing change. So I'm going to let you unpack that a little bit in your blog and what you talked about, the idea of change and your story behind that.
Yeah, so when my kids were young, I sort of had a bit of burnout myself, and so I know what it feels like to go push yourself and keep pushing yourself and keep pushing yourself until you actually completely run out of juice. And a little while after that, I had a pretty cool story about how I worked through that. It was a bit of a amazing circumstance, but soon after that I observed two of my friends who had stuff going on, and I, you know, like you hear friends and you hear them talking about, oh, this is going on, and you sort of support them in it, but as I observed them over a course of weeks or months, I could see that actually they were getting near the end of their capacity to cope with it. And I looked at them and I thought, okay, I now know what it looks like when you're about to go too far, push yourself too far. And so I actually went and spoke to them and just said to them, look, you actually need to make a change, because I can see that this is now becoming overwhelming. It's getting too much. And so, yeah, so we were able to have some cool conversations about that struggle that they were having about making a change in their family in one setting, and in the other was a work situation. So
yeah. And you talked about that practicing change by actually imagining that change first,
yep,
and just feeling how or noticing how that felt for you to sit and change, and whether the change that you were looking for brought about a sense of peace for you or something that was different, rather than, and then thinking back to where you are now in your situation and how you felt. And so I kind of like that idea of so instead of stressing about change, knowing that something's really uncomfortable and you know that something has to happen, but you don't know what has to happen, and then being giving yourself a chance to explore the idea of change.
Yeah.
So if it was a new job or maybe a new house or moving or maybe a new relationship and the ending of an old one, you know, the idea of change can be very, very scary. So if we give ourselves a chance to practice it in a way, so how would you, how do you think we can practice it? Like, what's some ways that we can?
Well, the situation that I talked to these guys about was they sort of knew, they just weren't coping with what currently was, and anything that anyone suggested to them about, well, maybe you could do this, maybe you could do that, it was always like too much. And so rather than, so the situation with the job one, rather than actually making a decision to leave and resigning, I talked to her about, you know, just making the decision to leave and just sitting with it and just seeing what happened. And just, you know, sometimes like you can cope with pain or stress or something when you know it's going to finish.
Right.
But sometimes when it's just that never-endingness, you actually can't handle it. That was what the conversation was like with her, that she couldn't bring herself to actually step out of the role, but by allowing herself to think, yeah, okay, maybe it's a better thing that I leave and just sit with that, she could see like an end, a potential end to what she was going through, and she just, it felt right. And so that was cool. So she sat in it for a couple of weeks. She didn't do anything about it. But then we had another conversation. I said, okay, well, that was one side of the coin. What about if we flip it back? And you now think what you were thinking before about, okay, I really actually need to stay here because of all these reasons that I can think of. And so she allowed herself to make the decision to stay, and all of a sudden all of those layers came back on. And so she actually went, you know what, I do need to leave, which before that she had been refusing to acknowledge that.
Yeah, so even giving ourselves permission to think about change and then practice it in our own mind first, and how that might play out. So that was one way. And then we're going to move into the second point, which was, you know, when we can feel unrest, when we feel pressure to do something that we really don't feel is for us. And that was in part of your blog. And some of that can be through social pressure and our own internal pressures when when we're wanting to say no to something and we don't know how to say no because there's some resistance there. So that was another good point, I thought, in your blog. So feeling pressure to do something that we really don't want to do, Denise, you know, so feeling unrest in that. How do you find peace when you are feeling the pressure to do something that, particularly, you know, you're not sure you want to do that?
Yeah, well, that was an interesting time because that I think that it's the decision making that's the stressful thing. Once you actually make a call one way or the other, then you the challenge kind of lifts. You're like, okay, well, I'm doing this, or actually, I've said no. Of course, if you say no to someone and they are trying to manipulate you into doing it, they may well push back. That doesn't always mean that's going to be an easy conversation. But, yeah, this particular time when I finally went, actually, no, I'm not going, oh, my goodness, all of that pressure just lifted because, yeah, I think it's the decision-making is the challenge sometimes. Once you've made the decision, it's fine. So coming to the point, I think there's a few of us out there who struggle with actually decision-making full stop. And so we kind of live in this perpetual state of not really sure what's going to happen, which in itself is a little bit stressful.
So I wonder, like that too, when we're people that tend to say yes to things. yeah, I'll do that. You know, and we jump in. And we don't give it a lot of thought. So that can cause us unrest, but this piece that you were talking about when you said no, I'm particularly interested in that because if you're a people pleaser and you like to say yes to please people, how do you say no, or how do we teach ourselves to say no or put a boundary down and feel comfortable about that? Because you were talking about in your blog manipulation, and sometimes we can have those people in our lives. I mean, they're good people and they mean well for us and they have a lot of good things for us, but the instincts in you are to say no to something. So how do you say no to something that potentially looks good, but you feel resistance to? Is that too big a question? Is it a big one?
It is a big one. But no, I think, we know what our capacity is. Like, we know how our day's gone, how our week's gone. Even if somebody's, for example, in a work setting, like if somebody's trying to get you to do, could you just do this little thing? And some, under some circumstances, it'll be fine. But actually, if you know you've got all these other deadlines coming up, well, then realistically, if you say yes, is it gonna just be the last straw? So I think it's just being a little bit aware of what's going on. And I was thinking as I was writing it, I didn't really write this very well, but just the difference between sometimes, yes, we do need to say no to something, but actually sometimes we need to push through and say yes. So maybe it's, for example, in a family setting where, the family wants to go and have a picnic or wants to play a game, and actually I don't want to do that right now, but sometimes you kind of have to push through the no, I don't want to. So it's not all about me and what suits me. It's more about kind of prioritising different things in your life and going, actually, this time, this is not going to work. And so my answer is no. And giving yourself freedom to actually honestly answer instead of always saying the automatic, oh, yeah, yep, that's fine. And then you're stuck with trying to carry whatever you've said yes to. And no one else carries that. That's exactly your own stuff.
And so the unrest comes from our inability to say no to something, even though it might look good.
Yeah.
It's our inability to do that. And I guess it's about giving ourselves permission too. That's something that I've often, a word that I've put in my mind to use, give myself permission to not do that, because I think sometimes we have been taught to say yes to things, to have a full plate.
Yes, put others before yourself, which is good sometimes, but if you're actually running on empty, it's not good.
So we have to do the noticing, because no one's going to do it for us, especially people who love living with a full plate and want you to have a full plate too. And that can end up looking like manipulation, because we get pushed by people to answer yes when really we want to say no. And so it's about giving ourselves permission, and the peace comes from that. I know that for me, that was not an easy journey to start saying no to something.
Yeah, for sure.
Or just saying no, or not this time, or try even finding the language without it sounding too harsh.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, don't want to do that. Yeah. You know, finding...
Or genuinely, hey, maybe next time.
Exactly.
But only if you mean that. Don't say that. And then not mean it.
Yeah, so it's about giving permission and allowing us to choose differently in the moment than we normally would, and feeling okay with that. It's about growing up, I guess, in some ways, and being the parent in our own life, huh? Maybe.
I think some of us, like I know for me, I always felt like I had to justify. Like to say no, I would say no because. And actually, I remember there's a stage at which I learned it's okay to just say no. The other person doesn't have to know why, and they don't have to approve of why. Sometimes you just say no, and you think, oh, my gosh, but they're not going to think that that's an important enough reason, and so they'll keep pushing. Well, don't tell them your reason. Sometimes it's actually okay to just say no.
It's a healthy thing to do, and it's a healthy thing for us to learn to do in a healthy way and not to use it in a way where we get stubborn and, you know, it becomes a negative rather than a positive. And so that kind of moves into that last piece of your blog. And just to remind people, so the blog is on Denise's Facebook. That's Denise Gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R. And her blog is called Becoming Unoffendable. And the one that we're talking about today is How Are You Today? And in apostrophes, busy. And we're talking about peace and how do we find that peace when there is chaos around us, or perhaps we're feeling like things are chaotic and just out of our control. So how do we find those peace, that peace? And we're moving into that last point now, which is really wrestling with choices. And this one is more probably where I kind of fit in the faith journey and you know, having you on here in Faith Matters, because we do have a faith, and this is probably something that informs us in ways that we don't get in out in the world. And so wrestling with choices, I put in here prayer and music and God's peace that surpasses all understanding. So these are pretty much cornerstones for me. But I thought you could unpack that a little bit, wrestling with choices, and because you talked about driving into town and you had a choice to make. And while you were driving, you gave it over to God, and you instantly felt a peace. Yep. Now, for a lot of people who don't understand what that is or how that can even happen, because we've talked about peace that comes from us, which is we might practice change or feeling the pressure and then being able to say no. Those are internal things that we can do. But this is something outside of us that we're looking at now, that in an instant it brought something different for you, Denise. So tell me about that drive and what happened there.
I was on my way somewhere and I just was absolutely in turmoil. I was making good choices. I knew what the right thing to do was and I was doing that. But the struggle sometimes of doing the right thing, it was just hard. Like, I guess it was against what I felt like doing. And I was really wrestling with that. So in that particular car journey, I was just praying, like, going, God, I just can't carry this. Please, can you carry it for me? And instantly it was like that burden lifted, and in exchange I had peace. And then as I was thinking about that, you know, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and so I couldn't talk about feeling peace amidst turmoil without mentioning that spiritual aspect, because it is very real. And there's lots of places throughout God's Word where it talks about exchanging, say, beauty for ashes. So he gives beauty in a situation that looks completely beyond anything. And all
beyond
these
repair.
Yeah, so different things that when we actually bring our, if whatever the situation is, whether it's some sort of awful situation or whether it's a challenge that we're wrestling with, or whether it's just exhaustion, whatever, we can bring that to God and he actually exchanges that for a good gift. So peace, certainly in some settings, but sometimes it's hope. You know, it might be in a hopeless situation when you bring that to him, and actually he might bring somebody along your path, or, you know, you might read something and it's just like, oh, there's actually hope. Yeah. It might just be a heart thing. You might not have it from anywhere externally at all. And, of course, it doesn't always happen that way. Like, I've prayed other times, God, can you carry this? And it's been literally, I can remember, I'm somebody who sort of imagines things, and I can remember there was one particular thing, and I just had to picture myself putting it into God's hands over, and I just imagined this really big hand in front of me, and I put it in this big hand, and I let it go, but then I had to put it in God's hands again and again. I never picked it up that I knew of, but all I just had to, over and over and over again, kept picturing myself putting it into God's hands because I just couldn't manage it myself anyway. And, yeah, just trusting that he would carry that for me and in exchange give me that peace. So,
yeah, that's really beautiful. This one, you know, I can unpack this one for hours probably. You know, the peace of God is something that, you know, in my life, it's supernatural. The feeling that I get of that peace is yep. totally supernatural. It's not of this world. It's so it's a hard one to explain, but a beautiful place to be. Mm-hmm. And unless you've been there, you don't know that peace. For me, it's like having frazzled lines, you know, with the electrical current that's all frazzled out and not working properly. And when I feel that peace of God, it's just like everything just gets smoothed down. And even though everything's still intact and is still there, it feels right.
Yeah.
And I can leave it alone.
And sometimes it will change the situation, but sometimes it won't. Sometimes the situation's still exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly.
And yet you have peace in the midst of it.
And that's the craziness of it, I think, of God's peace. It doesn't make sense. It surpasses all understanding, you know, and it really does. And I'm really thankful for that, because I think when you've had a lot of unrest in life, to know that kind of peace, it's a real treasure, and I'm really, really thankful for it. So thank you, Denise, for coming in and unpacking your blog with us and talking about peace. And I've got another guest coming up. I've got Cheryl Pett with me, who's going to be coming on soon, and she's going to be talking to us about mums and family. And we've got Mother's Day coming up, so it's a real special time of the year, and actually a really nice time to be thinking about peace even. So I'm going to play a song. I was going to play Isaiah 48, Peace, but I'm actually going to do a different one, Denise, because I want to end out with that peace one. So I'm going to do Build a Boat, there we go, by Colton Dixon.
I've been wandering through the desert, ain't seen a cloud in forever over me, but I believe your rain is coming. Yeah, I've been hanging on the high hopes, 'cause you're the one who's making dry bones come to life. You're the light I put my trust in. Every word you say is gonna come true. You will lead me to the promised land. Everything you say is gonna happen, even though I haven't seen it yet. I will build a boat. You will lead me to the promised land. Everything you say is gonna happen.
Your love never fails. up in faith. I'll do anything it takes with your wind in my sails. Your love never fails or fades.
I'll build a boat in the desert place, and when the flood and the water starts to rise, yeah, I'll ride the storm, cause I got you by my side. With your wind in my sails, your love never fails or fades.
I'll build a boat so let it rain.
Hey, you're listening to Marie on Faith Matters, and I've got Cheryl Pitt in the studio with me. Yeah, you're on, Cheryl.
Hi, Marie.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
It's great to have Cheryl with me. So I've got Cheryl here because it's Mother's Day coming up, and I know Cheryl has a lot of children and a lot of grandchildren and a lot of wisdom there. So I've known Cheryl for over 20 years now, and she's been a really big woman in my life. A lot of wisdom. I've seen family through Cheryl's family. I know a lot of her kids, all of her kids actually. And so when I came to Raglan, I came with a lot of trauma, and I came to the church at Surfside, and I met Cheryl through the church and got invited around to their family and saw how they did family. And for me, that was a real eye-opener, because I was in a really hard place and I was hurting, and looking in to see a healthy family was quite hard for me. I think it really pulled on my heartstrings. And I remember right at the beginning, all these years ago, she's thinking, I didn't even know all this stuff, Marie. There's lots of things you don't know, because we don't tend to tell people these things, the impact that they've had on us. But, man, it was a massive impact for me. I saw family dinners and cooking times and just the pressures you have had of family and your kids. And I saw you go to conferences and take your kids with you, and just the things you and Roger did as a family. And a lot of my learning actually came from there. And I'm really, really thankful for that. There's lots of things that I did and placed into my family that really helped me as a woman, helped me as a mum. So now, Cheryl, I've got a lot of time for you. There's not many women that have stuck around in my life for a long time, and you're one of them, and I'm very, very rapt for that, very thankful. So tell me a little bit about kind of your values. Where did your values come from for family? And
well, I think it probably started off, I was very blessed to grow up in a Christian family. My parents stayed together till they both passed away. And so I was brought up in the church and also with godly values in my home. And so when I was at the age, I was wanting to get married, and obviously Roger was too.
We've heard some of the stories. Oh, I've heard about the motorbike ride to your place late at night. Come on. And he used to, I remember that. He told us in church, riding on his little motorbike he had to get to your place, and was it Patara?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. But anyway, I met Roger, and he was looking for somebody really similar, with the similar values, because he was brought up very much the same as I was, with those godly values, valued family, valued strong marriages, and had a faith, and we both had a faith. And so that's how we started. And so going into our marriage, it was just natural for us to bring those with us.
Yeah.
I guess they were ingrained in us from young, really.
And those structures.
That's what we wanted for our family as we were, started having children.
And how many children have you got,
Cheryl? I've got four. We did have another baby that died. It was stillborn. It died at full term. She was number five.
And she, her name was
Laura.
And I'd really love to unpack this. I'm going to use this, have this on another show, where I'd really love to unpack this a little bit around grief and losing a child, because both of us have experienced that. And it is really a big journey and one I'd like to unpack with you another time a bit more around to help those who have experienced this to know that they're not alone. But you've got
four adult children. They're all married now, and they have produced me 14 grandchildren, and number 15 is just waiting to be born any minute.
Oh my gosh, really? Oh,
or any day. Maybe not minute, but so that's such a blessing. I'm just, it's amazing. And what's even better is that all my children live in Raglan, and so I get to see them lots, and get to see all my grandkids lots, and it's amazing.
It is amazing.
It's so cool, and I know that isn't the same for so many families. Mm. They've got children that live overseas, or so they don't get them. So I don't take it for granted that they live in Raglan, and I get to see them all the time.
You'd be around your grandkids as they're growing.
Yeah. Oh, it's
you're
so
a big
precious
part of their life.
Yeah, it's so precious. So it's amazing.
It is. And these days it's hard to see families. You know, we don't get to see big families doing family. It really is, your family is quite a snapshot into those big families and the continuation of and the carrying on of and being you know, deeply rooted into your community, and you know, there's a big history here, and so that has a lot of warmth to it when you know you've got so much family around you. And I wanted to unpack that a bit, because there was some supports for you, I guess, along the way, as in being a mum and having children and running a farm and running a church, and you had massive things that you were doing with your little ones all around as well. So you know, that's quite a how did you do that as a woman? How did you feed and cook and clean and run from here to there and make decisions?
Well, when the children were little, we were sheep farmers. But we always had, and we were running the youth group, and so we always had a lot of young people around. But I had to learn how to cook for shearers and farm workers, and we often had them living with us with little ones. And I don't know, I think God graces you for the season that you're in. If you are committed to him, he will, and you're looking to him for your everyday challenges and you know, that peace that comes with it and ideas that come with it. And
that's quite amazing, because that's a part of this puzzle that others may not know about, is that there is a third party in our marriages that we are looking at and towards to help us in those times where things get overwhelming. It's like when I was talking with Denise about that supernatural peace that comes from God. You know, we're talking about that in a different way when, as a mum, you know, when I'm juggling all these things, which is massive, because most, you know, a lot of people just tend to run. We tend to run away from huge stress. It's too much, you know. But when you're committed to family and you're committed to stay through the hard times as well, and there are hard times, you know, relying on God in those places is something that others perhaps don't understand so well.
I think for us, we were determined to have a strong marriage, and we knew that was going to be the foundation of our family. And if we had a strong family, a strong marriage, and could back each other and not speak negatively about each other to other people, which isn't always easy.
No.
often want to
have a little whinge about what they're not doing or what they are doing.
But and in front of our children, especially, I think one thing I was thinking is we were determined that our family was already a family when it was just Roger and I.
Nice. Yeah.
And our children were an added bonus and a welcome addition to that. So they weren't the centre of our family.
Yeah.
It was Roger and I, and as the children came along, they were a welcome addition.
Mm.
And so life didn't revolve around them so much. And so they learnt to, I think that's why we were able to do youth group, because they knew that as a family, that was what we did.
Yeah,
it wasn't just, they weren't put into a separate box.
I get it, because I'm looking at you and I can see you're almost struggling with it, but I saw those times you're talking about. And it was just that you guys did everything together.
Yes.
It was just that's how I saw it.
Mm.
I never saw any division or any kind of like anything of that was upsetting for me as a person looking in on family. And so it was, looking at that and seeing how you guys worked together. And I do remember that years ago, you know. And I remember even my mum saying to me, great piece of advice she did actually give to me was not to talk bad about each other.
Mm.
And I figured this out as I got older, you know, the toxic environment that can come from sharing some, niggles that we have, and then people get pictures or a picture of a person, you know, and then we've built this picture up that's not really real. And then we can't take it down again. So I think that, being able to give over to God and talk to him about things that are really close to our heart, is such a safe way.
Mm.
And his love for the marriage and family just pours out.
It brings a real security to the children.
Yes.
If they see mum and dad love each other.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, totally agree.
And, that they're not to interrupt.
Yes.
If we're talking, or just that, that we had things in place where they could interrupt us, but there was a system on how you did it.
Yeah.
They didn't just come and grab your arm and go, Mom, 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 Mom.
dragging you off out the door.
You know, we had what we called the interrupt rule that we put in place, which they had to put their arm on either me or Roger if they wanted to, and we would, as soon as there was a break in the conversation, we would say, yes, what would you like to ask me? We didn't make them wait there for half an hour while we had a nice catch-up. So we had a few little things like that in place, which I think actually shows them respect.
Yes.
Teaches them how to respect adults, anybody older than them, really, or other people. So we had a few little things like that.
They weren't that little, Cheryl. Those are some of the things that I put into my own family, and they were massive ones.
Yeah.
Like, they really were helpful.
Yeah.
Those are the sort of things I was talking about, the things I picked up, how you did family, that just brought an ease, I think. And a lot of what you guys did was also what you had learnt, Growing Kids God's Way was an old program that we did, a very old-fashioned title.
Yeah.
But, oh, my gosh, some
really good keys.
The keys in there were incredible and so helpful. Mm. And so we're going to round it up a little bit. I really appreciate what you've shared with us. And so special, your group of girls and your one boy. And you've got one of your girls speaking this Sunday. So
Sasha. Yeah, I'm really excited. Sasha's amazing. She's, they all are, actually. But Sasha is speaking at Mother's Day. She's got four girls, so she's a busy mum herself. Mm. A lot of people would know Sasha around the community. She's spent years running the youth group. But so she's going to be sharing with the mums, encouraging us all.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Sasha. Well, she's a bit of sunshine.
She is. She's great.
She's got an awesome heart. Has worked massively with our youth and still is. Great speaker. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to Sasha. She always brings a bit of gold. So, yeah, if you're wanting to join us on Mother's Day at Raglan Area School, 10 a.m., Surfside Church, got Sasha, I was going to say Piet, but she's a croon. She's not a pet, she's a croon. Well, she is a pet, but she's a croon now. We've got Sasha Croon speaking on Sunday. We're going to have awesome worship, as we always do, and there's going to be some real treats for the mum. Are we starting at 10? We're starting at 10. We're starting with coffees.
Yep.
And yeah, coffees. We'll have coffees. And
it's not just for the mums.
No.
I remember one time somebody said to us, we said, oh, you're coming to Mother's Day service, and they said, well, I'm not a mother, I'm a man. and they didn't think they could come, but it's actually for the whole family. But we treat the mums, but the word
is going to be for everybody. I've got some inside knowledge. I know it's not just for the mums, so it's going to be a great word. And I really encourage people to get along and bring your mum, bring your grandmother, bring your auntie, bring the woman in your life to get some treats and hear a great word from one of the mums in our house. So thanks, Cheryl, for joining us today.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great.
Thanks, Marie.
You're welcome.
Oh, Lord, I've got stories of your faithfulness and how you've sustained me with your promises. Oh Lord, you have given so much love and grace. When I've been abandoned, you have always stayed. I've got 10,000 stories of your faithfulness, but not one where you fail me, not one where you fall, not one where your arms couldn't reach me and carry the weight of it all, not one where you left me, not one where you changed. But not one where you fail me,
and not one where you fall, and not one where your arms couldn't reach me and carry the weight of it all, not one where you left me, and not one where you changed, not one where your love doesn't win when I'm fighting the wind and the waves. I've got stories on stories of goodness worth singing about. Yes, I got stories on stories of faithfulness too much to count, and not one where you let.
You're listening to Marie on Faith Matters. It's been a really good show today, having Denise on here talking about her blog on Facebook and living in peace. And then we had Cheryl Pearton here also talking about peace in some ways, and in many ways talking about mums and our journey in that arena as women and the families that we have. So it's been really good to hear from these beautiful women. I've got a couple of more songs, so I'm just going to keep playing. I think we'll play Jericho, Andrew Rip.
Stacking up the years I spent trading punches with the enemy. Ooh, built myself a double thick stone tower, lies higher than the eye can see. Trapped in my flesh and bone, crying out to you, Lord. I'm desperate. Love cold rattled this cage and set me free. All of my fears like Jericho walls gotta come down.
every night, trying to fit in with the crowd, making bets and picking fights. But that was your story. Making ends and your money meet. Worry about what you're gonna eat. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's talk about how you skipped over your grave. Two hands, one prayer, and everything changed. And I know the truth.
Lauren Daigle with New, and you've been listening to Marie on Faith Matters. It's been lovely to have you join with us today. If you want to know more about Faith Matters, you can find the music on Spotify under Faith Matters. You can find Faith Matters podcasts on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM. Just look them up and look at all their shows and you'll find it in there, some good sounds and some good interviews. If you're looking to be on a faith journey, or you're looking for somewhere to take your mum on Sunday to celebrate her, make her feel a little bit special, get around people in your community, learn more about faith and what it might mean for you and your family, or just simply in your life, you could join me on Sunday at Raglan Area School. We've got Sasha Croon speaking to us this Sunday, and awesome worship from our worship team, and some really yummy treats for the mums, no doubt. Lots of good company. You'll learn some wisdom, hear some wisdom maybe. Learn some wisdom. Might learn it from the word that you hear. That'll be great. Otherwise, have a safe weekend. Look after each other. Be kind to each other. Be kind to self too. I'll see you Sunday, 10 a.m., Raglan Area School. We're going to head out with Isaiah 48, Peace. And I'll be here next Friday, 12 midday, Faith Matters with Marie. I was going to give you my last name. Not that it really matters. With Marie's good enough.
Flowing like a gentle river, righteousness rolling over you like waves in the sea. Peace flowing like a gentle river, the righteousness rolling over you like waves in the sea. Flowing like a gentle river.